Hear now God's word. I want to read to you from the Gospel of St. John at chapter 15 and verses 9 to 17. Hear God speak to us through his holy word. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. Amen, and thanks be to God for his most holy word.
Hello, everybody. It's always a blessing to be together in our joint services of worship. I hope you're all keeping well. And if you've been able, I hope you've also found some enjoyment in the gradual lessening of COVID-related restrictions here in Scotland. Lord willing, it's just a few short days until most of this country will be able to enjoy even more freedoms as we all continue to do our part in fighting this global pandemic. Last week in our joint worship, Sheila shared an important message with us from the beginning of John chapter 15. And this chapter contains one of Jesus' famous I am statements: I am the vine, you are the branches. We heard from Sheila how it is so tempting to stop and focus only on the comforting parts of Scripture and ignore the harder parts of this passage. And she referenced the harder part of the reality of spiritual pruning, pruning back even fruitful branches for the sake of future growth. And of course, the pruning of the branches relates to our lives as disciples. And to quote Sheila's wise words directly, she said, "So our relationship with God cannot be static. It has to be something that's shaped and reshaped, trained and trimmed, cut back, encouraged, grown, regrown, and renewed over and over and over again." And I find that life is full of these kinds of back and forth, gradual growth endeavors, sometimes two steps forward, one step back, but progress is still being made. Over the last couple of years, I've really gotten into cycling, and I found this back and forth and gradual growth model to be very applicable to this activity. I enjoy cycling. I find that it's a good and fun way to maintain some measure of fitness. And every few weeks, I'm supposed to take what is called an FTP test, functional threshold power test. And it's as daunting as it sounds. It's basically 30 minutes. The test is 30 minutes of riding your bike as hard as you possibly can, completely emptying the tank, leaving everything on the wheel. After the first couple tests, after exerting yourself that hard, it's exciting to see the rapid progress in fitness. But as your body adjusts to the continual exercise over weeks and months, it isn't long before the gains in fitness become smaller and smaller. And on one occasion after I took a test, I even went back a little in my result. And I must admit, it was frustrating to see what I viewed at the time as regression, as a type of failure. But I kept taking the tests on the recommended time scale, and I kept trusting the process. And when I zoom out on all of my data and I look at all the tests I've done, there are highs and there are tests that aren't as high and some tests that are lower. But overall, overall, I have grown in my fitness. The highs and the lows are both important parts of the process. You cannot have one without the other. And I think a lot of this is true for our lives of Christian discipleship as well. As Sheila said, the life of Christian discipleship, of abiding in Jesus, is not a static existence. It's not a static life. It's one of a constant process. And I think it's possible that some seasons of discipleship will feel more fruitful and more meaningful than others. There'll be times when our lives are absolutely bursting with fruit, and there'll be other times when we are being pruned back, perhaps for the sake of future fruitfulness. And that's okay. That's okay to have seasons of fruitfulness and seasons of pruning in our lives. It's all okay. It's all, I would say, part of God's plan, as long as the general trajectory is a deepening relationship with Christ, a deepening growth and a deepening and a growth in our faith. Whether we are bearing fruit or being pruned back, our call is the same: to abide fully in Jesus Christ. And this brings us to the second part of John chapter 15, which is especially famous for verses 12 and 13. "This is my commandment," Jesus says, "that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." So after all of his talk about bearing fruit, about being pruned back for more fruitfulness and then bearing more fruit, it might seem a little jarring for Jesus to suddenly proclaim, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his or her life for his or her friends." But I think a closer examination of the text will show us that everything Jesus has said thus far goes very well together. To put it all together, we can say that the ultimate act of the fruitful discipleship that Jesus was talking about in the first part, this ultimate act of fruitful discipleship, it's seen most clearly in a willingness to lovingly lay down one's life for others. The ultimate act of fruitful discipleship, the ultimate expression of discipleship, is seen in lovingly laying down one's life for others. And we take it at face value. This passage refers to one person's willingness to die for someone else as an act of love. It is the ultimate sacrifice, and one which former U.S. President Abraham Lincoln called the last full measure of devotion. For us as Christians, the ultimate example of this last full measure of devotion is, of course, found in Jesus' own willingness to die for us on the cross, so that we might be restored to right relationship with God through him. Now, this is certainly an important and central aspect of the text, of this willingness to lovingly lay down our life for others if called upon to do so. But I think this passage is also more about than how we might die for others. In this passage, I think Jesus is also teaching us about how we might live with and for others as well. What do I mean by this? I mean that while many of us will never be in the position of having to actually physically die for someone, nevertheless, every Christian is called to imitate our Lord's posture of agape love for other people. Now, if you didn't know, agape is a biblical word that we translate as love. Especially in John's gospel, the word agape is all over the place. And agape love is a special form of love in that it is inherently sacrificial in nature. Agape love puts the needs of others before the needs of the self, and it does so with a glad, willing, and selfless spirit. This may not surprise us at all, but this is the kind of love. Agape is the kind of love that God shows to all of us in Jesus Christ. It's the kind of love that Paul talks about in his famous Corinthians passage in chapter 13. Love is patient, love is kind, does not envy, does not boast, does not keep record of wrongs, always rejoices in the truth, always hopes, always believes, always perseveres. That's agape love. That's Christ-like love. It's the highest virtue of the Christian life, this agape love. Recently, you may be aware that we had our first official meeting of our new presbytery grouping, consisting of representatives from the churches of Kintore, Ecdamidmar, Cluny Monymusk, Blairdaff, Chapelgiri, and Kemnay. It was a fruitful meeting, to draw back to the John 15 language, and there is a healthy measure of optimism and hope about finding a way to create a new covenant relationship for shared ministry together. It's an exciting time, and we want to see where it can go, what it will look like, how we can support each other, how we can learn from each other, how we can build each other up. And as we continue to lean into the process of finding and creating new forms of ministry, I really do hope we can keep these words of Jesus at the forefront of our minds and hearts. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Friends, to lean in together, to do ministry together, to be Christians together, we will need to have agape love for each other. We cannot hold on so tightly to our own agendas, our own wants, and have this endeavor succeed. Instead, we will need to trust each other. We will need to serve each other. We will need to make room for each other and for our respective concerns. We all have a need to be heard, and we will all have a need to listen as well. As we go through this process together, as we consider what a shared covenant ministry can look like, we will all need a willingness to let go, or at least loosen our grasp on some of the things that matter most to us. That's only by laying down, letting go, and loosening our grasp of some things that we can all create something better, stronger, more vibrant, more Christ-honoring together. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. The work of forming our covenant has just begun. And as we go forward with forming our covenant together, may God's agape, sacrificial, selfless love, may it guide our discussions, our discernment, and our decisions. May God help us to let go and to lean in together. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.